the right angle to adjust direction and altitude. My body mastered the art in a moment and sent me flying effortlessly wherever I wanted to go. I looked at the world from the wind-up bird's vantage point. Whenever I had had enough of flying, I would land on a branch and peer through the green leaves at rooftops and roads. I watched people moving over the ground, carrying on the functions of life. Unfortunately, though, I could not see my own body. This was because I had never once seen the wind-up bird and had no idea what it looked like. For a long time, how long could it have been, I remained the wind-up bird. But being the wind-up bird never got me anywhere. The flying part was fun, of course, but I couldn't go on having fun forever. There was something I had to accomplish down here in the darkness at the bottom of the well. I stopped being the wind-up bird and returned to being myself. Mei Kasahara paid her second visit a little after three in the afternoon. When she opened half the well, light flooded in overhead, the blinding glare of a summer day. To protect my eyes, so accustomed now to total darkness, I closed them and kept my head down for a while. The mere thought of light up there caused a thin film of tears to ooze.
"Hi there, Mr. Wind-Up Bird," said Mei Kasahara. "Are you still alive, Mr. Wind-Up Bird? Answer if you're still alive."
"I'm alive," I said.
"You must be hungry."
"I think so."
"Still just, I think so? It'll be a while before you starve to death, then. Starving people don't die so easily as long as they've got water."
"That's probably true," I said, the uncertainty in my voice echoing in the well. The echo probably amplified any hint of anything contained in my voice.
"I know it's true," said Mei Kasahara. "I did a little research in the library this morning, all about hunger and thirst. Did you know, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, somebody once lived underground for 21 days during the Russian Revolution?"
"No kidding," I said.
"He must have suffered a lot."
"Yes, he must."
"He survived, but he lost all his hair and teeth. Everything, even though he lived, must have been terrible."
"Yes, it must."
"Even if you lose your teeth and hair, though, I suppose you can live a pretty normal life if you've got a decent wig and false teeth."
"Yes. And wigs and dentures have made great strides since the time of the Russian Revolution, too. That might make things a little easier."
"You know, Mr. Wind-Up Bird,"
said Mei Kasahara, clearing her throat.
"What?" "If people lived forever, if they never got any older, if they could just go on living in this world, never dying, always healthy, do you think they'd bother to think hard about things the way we're doing now? I mean, we think about just about everything, more or less, philosophy, psychology, logic, religion, literature. I think if there was no such thing as death, that complicated thoughts and ideas like that would never come into the world. I mean..."
Mei Kasahara cut herself short and remained silent for a while, during which her "I mean" hung in the darkness of the well like a hacked-off fragment of thought. Maybe she had lost the will to say any more, or maybe she needed time to think of what came next. I waited in silence for her to continue, my head lowered as from the beginning. The thought crossed my mind that if Mei Kasahara wanted to kill me right away, it would be no trouble for her at all. She could just drop a big rock down the well. If she tried a few times, one was bound to hit me on the head.
"I mean, this is what I think, but people have to think seriously about what it means for them to be alive here and now because they know they're going to die sometime, right? Who would think about what it means to be alive if they were just going to go on living forever? Why would they bother? Or even if they should bother, they'd probably just reckon, 'Oh, well, I've got plenty of time for that. I'll think about it later.' But we can't wait till later. We've got to think about it right this second. I might get run over by a truck tomorrow afternoon, and you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, you might starve to death. One morning, 3 days from now, you could be dead in the bottom of a well. See? Nobody knows what's going to happen, so we need death to make us evolve. That's what I think. Death is this huge, bright thing, and the bigger and brighter it is, the more we have to drive ourselves crazy thinking about things."
Nei Kasahara paused.